Locked On NFL Thursday, and boy, do we have some big news. Tom Brady, the GOAT, retires. Is he actually going to stay retired this time? Also, Sean Payton to the Denver Broncos. I got to tell you, I think it's a terrible trade. Also, who is the best team sport athlete ever? Tom Brady or Michael Jordan? We'll discuss all of that and more on a Thursday edition of the Locked On NFL podcast. Let's roll.
You are Locked On NFL, your daily NFL podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Football fans, today's episode of Locked On NFL podcast is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. You pick 2 to 6 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's PrizePicks.com. Promo code Locked On. Tom Brady retired. Will he stay retired? We're going to break all that down. I am one of your local experts, Tyler Rowland, here with my co-host, local expert, Alex Clancy. And Alex, that's where I'm going to start the show. Tom Brady retired. He looked like he was about to break down in tears. I guarantee that right after he took that phone down for making that video, he lost it. And I guess I don't blame him. He's given his life and soul to the game and to this profession. It's probably hard to walk away. But the real question, I think, at this point in time is, do you believe him? Do you think Tom Brady actually stays retired?
Well, the thing is, Tyler Rowland of Locked On Titans, that it's not about the money anymore, obviously. The last handful of years, sure. Tampa Bay, whatever they gave him, the balloon contract, him coming back this year, wasn't about the money. He thought that they could run it back. And so did I. I mean, so did a lot of people. Nobody really expected the Todd Bowles experiment to go so drastically wrong that year. And they had the injuries as well. Yeah, they had 3 centers they were running through. Yeah, I think he's done. I think he's done. And it's serendipitous. It's time. You know, this is as close to leaving at the top of the mountain. They were a cover zero away from making potentially 2 Super Bowls in a row in Tampa Bay. Okay. Yeah. One of the best comebacks in playoff history was almost executed against the Rams. People are going to forget about that. That was his last, you know, crowning achievement. This last playoff game was just like his last game against Tennessee in New England, where it ended with the pick 6. It's very, it mirrors it. I'm done. But I mean, I'm assuming you agree, right? I mean, you and I think you're in lockstep with this.
Yeah, I think it's time for him to move on. He's going to be 46. And although I think he could still play at a decent level, I think all the things around him have to be to a certain point for him to be able to do that. I think this last year you did see him start to shy away from certain throws, and I don't even blame him for that. He's a 46-year-old man. I mean, at some point, the physical toll of the game is so difficult that you have to have such a good offensive line and such good weapons to give him an environment where he feels like he can actually compete for a championship. And it's just so hard for an NFL team to be able to promise those things. Tampa Bay really was the perfect situation for him. And now that right. situation has deteriorated a little bit, I just don't think that, it's boxing my ears off here, but I just don't that there are any good enough situations. I mean, like, people thought he would go to the Raiders and their offensive line is in shambles, and people are saying that they're going to be drafting offensive line in the top 10 of the draft now. Right. So I just don't think that there's a situation tailor-made for him to continue. And that kind of leads me into Vegas now. Vegas seemed like the leading candidate. Vegas or San Francisco were the leading candidate to get Tom Brady if he decided to move on. It turns out from the reporting that he was only considering going back to Tampa Bay or retiring. So maybe that was all pie in the sky. But with Vegas obviously not getting Tampa Bay now and some whispers about maybe Derek Carr coming back, if you're Vegas, do you try to bring Derek Carr back and smooth over that relationship? Or do you maybe consider taking a quarterback at 7 or trading up? If you had to take Derek Carr back or trade up or get a quarterback in the draft, if you're Vegas, what do you do?
If I'm Derek Carr, I'm saying lose my number. Like, right. This is – so this isn't – and I'll get to that in a second, but this isn't a Jimmy Garoppolo situation. He was QB1, and there was – was, you know, running unopposed. And all he did was add stability and leadership to that locker room. So what they've done was put him out to pasture like Kyle Shanahan did now a second time as of yesterday with Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, if I'm Derek Carr, there are better and more functional organizations that need a quarterback. And I'm even including the New York Jets with functionality.
Yeah.
Because what they've added there with Robert Saleh, Josh McDaniels is at, like, he's a basket case. It's not going to work there.
Yeah, that's who I blame.
Well, it's the same thing with with Kyle Shanahan. They never blame Kyle Shanahan. It's always the quarterback. And that's what it's been with Josh McDaniels. Anywhere he's gone, it was Jay Cutler, and then it was Tim Tebow. Well, can't win with Tim Tebow not being able to throw the ball. It's the same thing. If I'm Derek Carr, I'm not returning their phone calls.
Yeah, and to me, the Raiders blew a bunch of three-score leads this year. They went on like a historic run of blowing leads of 17 or more. That's coaching, not Derek Carr, in my opinion. Derek Carr is a second-tier quarterback, okay? Yes. He's not one of the elite guys. But you can win games and go to the playoffs, and if you build a good enough roster, you can go to the Super Bowl with somebody like Derek Carr. But I, like you said, I think that Derek Carr is a scapegoat for the Raiders season. I don't think Josh McDaniels is a very good NFL head coach, and I think they can change the quarterback all they want, but I just don't really believe in McDaniels. But you mentioned Kyle Shanahan, and I do want to ask about San Francisco. There were rumors that maybe Brady would go back to San Francisco. If you're San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan came out on Wednesday, said Jimmy G won't be back. Again, there we go. We heard Brock Purdy, probably going to have Tommy John surgery, will be out for the season.
Sucks.
If you're San Francisco, you're bringing back Trey Lance now, right? And trying to give him another shot to see if you can salvage the picks that you spent on him.
Except for that one name, Tyler Rowland. That one name.
Say it.
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh,
well, this is the name, you know. It's, I mean, Nathaniel Hackett. Right. People are thinking Nathaniel Hackett is like the second coming of the greatest OC ever.
Right.
Give me a break. That you can't tie that him going to East Rutherford. He doesn't want to live in the city. He doesn't want to live in New York City. He would have gone already. He doesn't care where he lives. I'd much rather Aaron Rodgers go home. I would love to see villain Aaron Rodgers with Kyle Shanahan. Are you kidding me? That would be a dumpster fire waiting to happen. Or they would win two Super Bowls in a row. Like, taking away the Arizona Cardinals, it'd be terrible for them and their rebuild right now. But no, I think, like, if they're going to make a move, they're going to make a move. Otherwise, they'll bring back Trey Lance because, again, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan think they have this elixir where the quarterback doesn't really matter. Trey Lance looked fine for the 15 minutes he played last year. So I think that they're going to bring him back other than doing anything else because they got to pay everybody else. They got to keep everybody else happy with all those big contracts.
It's funny, when you were talking about Nathaniel Hackett, I was like just imagining that people around the NFL think Nathaniel Hackett is like the godfather. Like, I'm going to make Aaron Rodgers an offer that he can't refuse. Yeah. He's going to be our quarterback. You know what
like
I mean?
Mike McCoy.
Not going to happen.
It's like Mike McCoy, all these guys that made so much money and got so many jobs off of the shoulders of exemplary quarterbacks. Josh McDaniels is another one.
Yep, 100%. Well, we're going to continue moving forward here. Big news in the NFL coaching cycle. We got two hires, Sean Payton going to Denver, D'Amico Ryans going back to the Houston Texans. Where does that leave the Colts? Where does that leave the Cardinals? We do have an expert on the Cardinals on the show, so we're going to talk about the NFL head coaching hiring cycle here in just a moment. Before we get into it, do want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. FanDuel is the number one sports book in America. They're the number one sports book of the NFL. They are the official sports book partner of the Locked On Podcast Network, and for good reason. We're really excited about this new sports betting partnership with FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better because they have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. You can do parlays, money lines, point spreads, first touchdown score. You can do all kinds of different things on FanDuel with really good odds. Right now, if you download FanDuel and you bet on Super Bowl 57, you're going to get a no sweat first bet where you'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets, even if your first bet doesn't win. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, super easy to use, and best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Locked on NFL Thursday, Alex Clancy, Locked on Cardinals, Tyler Roland, Locked on Titans. We together make up Locked on NFL Thursday. Thanks for making Locked on NFL your first listen each and every day, free and available on all platforms. As my esteemed co-host did mention, there are two head coaching hires within the course of like an hour of each other, I think, that happened 2 days ago. We'll break them down here. Locked on is headed to the Senior Bowl. Get inside analysis from the host to cover the NFL's next generation in college and find out which NFL draft boards these players will be climbing, all in one location. Subscribe to Locked On NFL Draft for nightly live shows from the Senior Bowl on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Sean Payton was acquired by the Denver Broncos for a 2023 first and a 2024 second. And I believe the Saints are sending a third round pick to Denver. Yes. Is that right? They're sending a mid round pick. And D'Amico Ryan signed a 6-year deal to be the next head coach of the Houston Texans. Hopefully,
let's hope he makes it past one year.
Yeah, let's hope that he can bring them out of the mud and the muck that they've been dealing with the front office and all the dysfunction from the front office. I mean, even from Bill O'Brien all the way to now, it's just like they need somebody to right the ship. And the last 2 years, neither of those two head coaches got a fair shot. And it's really unfortunate that with how much fervor, especially last year, that Lovie Smith coached with, like, I am really surprised he only got 1 year. Really am. But D'Amico Ryan's played with them, played there from 2010 to 2015, I believe. He is going home, quote unquote, to go coach for his alma mater, as it were, just in an NFL sense. Tyler, let's start with D'Amico Ryans, because I know that you have a little bit more to say about Sean Payton. Do you think that D'Amico Ryans chose the right spot? And what are the Houston Texans getting with D'Amico Ryans as their next head coach?
Yeah, I think that a lot of people maybe just casually looking at the Texans will say, whoa, why would anybody want to coach there with all the stuff going on? But they do have kind of a blank slate. They have a good amount of picks. They don't have a lot of money committed to people long-term. You can really go into Houston, and if the ownership allows you, you can really mold the roster to what you want. There aren't a lot of expectations out of the gate where you would get, like, Sean Payton's getting hired in Denver, and if they don't win right away, that's going to be a problem for them. So I think going to the Houston Texans for D'Amico Ryans, a first-time head coach as well, I think that's a perfect fit because the expectations are low, the roster is moldable to what you want, and like you mentioned, he played there. He knows the staff. He knows the area. He's going to feel more comfortable in a place that he spent a lot of time than he would anywhere else, getting used to different surroundings, a different city. His family is probably used to that area as well with the time he spent there. He's got guys who played in Houston with him that can support him, talk glowingly about him, and kind of make sure that the public perception doesn't turn on him too quickly. He's going to have a wider range of honeymoon time with the fan base because he was a former player. So I know that there are some issues with Houston, the way they treated previous coaches and all that, but I really do think this is a good move with D'Amico Ryans. He's known as a leader. He's known as a strong guy who can build good relationships, and not being far removed from his playing days, he can really connect to younger players who probably watched D'Amico Ryans play or played with D'Amico Ryans and Madden and stuff like that. So the current state of their roster and his experience, I really do think it's a good fit. And as someone who covers the Titans and is admittedly a Titans fan, this is a good hire for Houston. And it's hard to color it any other way. I like the move.
Yeah. And, you know, and I agree. And he was the first choice for me to head the future of the Arizona Cardinals. I thought he would just be, for people to think, well, he's a first-time head coach. Look at him on the damn sidelines. He's been a head coach for 2 years. It doesn't matter what position he held. It doesn't matter how much he made, and he wasn't making head coach money. That dude was the head coach of the best squad on one side of the football that we've seen this year. Now, I know it looked poorly during the NFC Championship game because Christian McCaffrey was playing quarterback.
They were running
the triple wishbone for the majority of the season, for the majority of the game. But what I love about this is two of their most impactful draft picks last year, Derek Stingley and Jalen Petrie, They have such
Petrie.
Young, incredible talent with no ceiling. And bringing in a guy like that, with these guys are still kind of like, you know, I call it raw lumps of dough. They haven't really been baked into who they're going to be as NFL players. It is going to be invaluable for those young gentlemen to have D'Amico Ryans as the head coach. And that had to play a part in this. And they give him a 6-year deal. Like, I would be, if you would have given me, like, if FanDuel had odds on if he were to withstand the rigors and play and coach all 412 games as head coach there for 6 years, I would say yes. I would, even if the odds are plus, he's going to be there. Like, I feel like this is a fit, and it'll be fit for a long time. Now, we've talked a lot about that. Let's talk about Sean Payton. I'm going to go first because Tyler is going to make Ross Jackson mad at us, but it's going to be worth it. So let me give my thoughts on Sean Payton. Okay, so he got acquired by the Denver Broncos. The Cardinals had spent 7.5 hours with him, Michael Bidwell, and new GM Monty Ossenfort. 7.5 hours on the compound, was in Michael Bidwell's car. Was it leveraged? Was Michael Bidwell not able to close? I don't know. I think it's more the former than the latter. Although I would have been okay with them trading two picks for him, I am now looking at this like, and I was before, Mike McCarthy, Andy Reid. Like, listen, we haven't had that conversation about Andy Reid yet. If they lose this year, we're going to start having that conversation about Andy Reid in some capacity. He's the best of the three. I'm not going to do this now, okay? But it's something I've had in my holster for a little bit. I hope we don't have to. But Sean Payton and Mike McCarthy are the same coach. Like, it's Mike McCarthy has been much maligned, but they've done the same stuff. And I'm happy that the Cardinals were able to sidestep this, even though if they were to have hired him, it would have been a necessary evil. I hope this blows up in everybody. I don't ever want bad things to happen. Russell Wilson doesn't deserve Sean Payton. That's what this comes down to, in my opinion. Good luck. Hopefully Sean Payton can mold whatever offensive skill position players they have into some sort of semblance of more than 13 points a game. But I'm fascinated to watch that circus show happen in Denver.
Well, so I'm just going to, and this is coming from a guy who, when Russell Wilson got traded to the Broncos, we had a little bit of a locked on roundtable with about 9 hosts, and everybody was kind of like, yeah, good move. But not me. I said, I'm not convinced that the Broncos are a good team because they got Russell Wilson. And here is what I have to say. This is insane. By Denver. This is a bad move. This is not going to work. This is not smart. Number one, you gave up the number 29 pick in the draft. You gave up a first round pick. You gave up a second round pick in 2024 just to acquire a coach. Not only a coach, but a coach who hasn't won a Super Bowl since I was a freshman in college. We aren't talking about this is like the Raiders trading for John Gruden off a fresh Super Bowl that he just won. Sean Payton hasn't done a damn thing in the NFL of consequence in 13 years. So what are you trading for here? A guy who's been in the broadcast booth for a while? How did that work for Vegas and Oakland when they brought John Gruden out? To me, they're going to pay him a buttload of money. The reports are that he wants $20 million a year, and maybe it's not that high, but it's going to be over $10 million, and they paid draft picks to do it. On top of what they gave up to get Russell Wilson. So you have sunk so much of your assets and your money into two guys who are past their prime, over the hill, and are not what you think they are and what you're paying for. This is insane. And you know why something like this happens? Because you get a new owner. And a new owner comes in there swinging the stick, and they want to let everybody know, hey, we're doing something big here. We're making a statement. We're making a big impact. I'm going to let everybody else in the league know that I'm here to win. And they do something dumb. And that's exactly what the Broncos have done. They have doubled down on a person past their prime who wasn't worth what they're giving up to get him. This is not a good move for the Broncos. And I'm willing to say right now, I do not think that it works out. They're still in a division with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert, I don't think they've moved the needle whatsoever. But we're going to move forward here.
Let me say one thing, and I don't care. Like, this is fascinating. We only get to talk once a week, and people only get to hear us once a week. So I like to go a little bit longer-winded, especially with conversations like this. And we'll make the last segment a little bit shorter.
Don't count on it.
You know, yeah, don't count on it. Well, listen, I like talking to my boy. When it comes to something like this, this is what would have happened if Bill Cowher ended up coming out of retirement.
Yes.
We never saw it.
Yes.
But Bill Cowher was the big name for what, 3 years?
A while. Yeah.
And I know he was defensive, but it was the Steelers, okay? The Steelers, since the 60s, have been the poster child for stability, stability, stability. Now the Ravens, you know, were like second. But this is what we would have experienced. This is the new age of somebody saying, you know what, I'll coach again. This is what the Bill Cowher experience would have looked like if Bill Cowher would have come out of retirement to coach all those years ago. For all the old heads, you know what I'm talking about. Locked On NFL Thursday. Alex Clancy, Locked On Cardinals. Tyler Rowland, Locked On Titans. Free and available wherever you get your podcasts, both of our podcasts respectively, and Locked On NFL on YouTube as well. Coming up next, I'm going to let Tyler tease this as we come back, because Tyler ripped my earlobes off before we started the podcast, and I'm going to let him talk, but it's going to be GOAT-centric, and it's going to be really exciting. Next, Locked On NFL Thursday. Prize picks, prize picks, prize picks, prize picks, five times, prize picks. This episode of Locked On NFL Thursday is brought to you by, you guessed it, Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy, man. You pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your cheese on any entry. No competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch. This includes NFL for one more game until next season, NBA, Major League Baseball, that's right around the corner, NHL, PGA, golf, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. MMA, entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Safe and fast withdrawals. Currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks, you guessed it, will give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. Yeah.
All right, football fans, we're going to cap off a Thursday edition of the Locked On NFL podcast. Make sure that you're making the Locked On NFL podcast your first listen every day, free Monday through Friday, all platforms, all year round. Can't beat that. Do want to let you guys know that for your second listen, check out your local Locked On NFL podcast, whether it be Locked On Cardinals, Locked On Titans, Locked On Chiefs, Locked On Eagles, whatever it is, get ready to go and make sure you're getting all your national NFL news and all your local favorite team news as well. But we are going to, before we get into our bonus segment, GOAT talk, I do want to ask Alex one particular question here, because a guy who's been deep into the head coach cycle, there are two remaining openings in the NFL right now, the Arizona Cardinals, who Alex covers very diligently, and the Indianapolis Colts. Just from the Cardinals' perspective, Alex, who do you think is the best head coach candidate out there, and who would you want to be the Cardinals' coach now?
Hopefully, D'Amico Ryans will reconsider, you know, and choose Arizona. I think that's the best course of action. It's just to hold out hope that, you know, he goes against everything that he wants, just for my, just for what I want. You know, they interviewed Cincinnati Bengals defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo yesterday. Mm-hmm. I believe they're interviewing Cincinnati Bengals offensive coordinator Brian Callahan today. Shane Steichen is in the mix. Like, I don't know at this point.
Eagles OC.
At this point, from a Cardinals perspective, I just hope Michael Bidwell has a plan. Like, because I said on my podcast yesterday, the Cardinals fans, employees, everybody is in a really rough position where they have to implicitly trust Michael Bidwell, who's been very untrustworthy with decisions made over the last decade. So that's where we are. For me, I would choose Lou Anarumo because he did more with less, Brian Callahan had a Madden on easy offense. Now, that's not to say he didn't do a great job, but if you're trying to bring that offense with Joey B to Kyler Murray,
he didn't call the plays.
Right. Like, that was a glamour Mike McCoy position, even though I think Mike McCoy called the plays when he was with Peyton Manning. I would take Lou Anarumo and just run. Hire a veteran OC and giddy the hell up into the future. But that would be for me. Yeah. I mean, Shane Steichen's interesting, but again, the Eagles are so stacked that it's really hard. It's really hard to decipher who's a great OC or DC and who's just been a positive victim of their surroundings.
Yeah, that makes sense. And for the Colts, I mean, who knows what's going on there? We're getting reports that Jim Irsay isn't even in interviews, but he's dictating that Jeff Saturday get a seat at the table. I know that they've talked to a bunch of different guys. They're looking to talk to some of those Bengals coordinators as well. They've talked to Rich Bisaccia, who was with the Raiders for a while. I know Jonathan Gannon is maybe an option there. I know that people in Indy want Raheem Morris a lot, the defensive coordinator from the Colts, so that could all make sense. But we're going to cap off today's show with a little bit of a bonus segment for you guys. With Tom Brady retiring, you could throw in LeBron James, which is what Alex wants to do.
That's not true. Don't mouth me.
I think the debate here is, who is the best team sport athlete in American history? Is it Michael Jordan or is it Tom Brady? I'm just going to say this. Michael Jordan was as dominant and just as all-encompassing as any player ever. And we're talking about who was the best team sport player. But if you talk about the most impactful American athlete of all time, globally speaking, it's by far Michael Jordan, with what he did to grow the game of basketball, with what he did to grow sponsorships of athletes and how they're used by companies and how those partnerships are created. The Air Jordan brand, his impact on fashion, his impact on marketing and advertising, his impact on sports and basketball in general globally. Michael Jordan has had the biggest impact on the world of any American athlete ever. But Alex, we both agree Tom Brady is the best team sport athlete in America. And I'll let you explain why you think that.
Yeah, and I agree. But I will say, Michael Jordan wasn't like the catalyst to become global. It was David Stern, okay? David Stern wanted to globalize the game, and the Dream Team was the ticket. Michael Jordan was the best player in the league then. He's still the best player of all time. Fine, we're not going to debate that. Michael Jordan was kind of a jerk. Like, with team atmosphere.
A lot of athletes are jerks.
Yeah, but not all athletes are in this conversation as the greatest team athlete of all time. Yeah, I know. I got a co-host who's one, kind of. Even though the sweetest man alive, I just called a jerk, which is Tom Brady was liked by more of his Michael Jordan. Tom Brady's never punched one of his teammates. You know, like, I feel like Tom Brady, even though he threw his hissy fits, he broke a lot of tablets.
Yeah, he screamed at his teammates every game.
Yeah, because he wanted the best out of them, okay? You know, like, with Tom Brady, it's just, there was more synchronicity. And I think, all joking aside, it's really hard to compare basketball with constant fluid motion, with only five people on the court to play both sides, and football, which is the slowest sport per play. I mean, it blows baseball out of the water, the slowest, you know, sport per play. It's hard to compare to the other, but I think it's Tom Brady, and I can't really explain why. It just is. When you watch movies, one's better than the other. Just like, I can't explain why this one's just better. I think it's just better. His story's better also.
With the draft pick and all that. I mean, Jordan's is pretty good too, but I have a few things. One, football is a harder game, in my opinion, than basketball. It's harder on your body. It's harder to win. There's more moving parts. There are more things going on. And Tom Brady only played one side of the ball. There's 11 guys on either side of the ball, and they don't play both sides. Michael Jordan, as one person of five on the court that gets to play both sides, he could personally dominate more than Tom Brady could. He could impact the game more than Tom Brady could. So Tom Brady had to not only win his side of the ball, but make sure that he didn't hurt the other side of the ball. And look at the longevity. You're a person who really likes LeBron. Yeah. Longevity does matter somewhat. And for Tom Brady to do what he's done for so long, and I think it cemented it once he went to Tampa. He got a seventh championship, which is more than Jordan's sixth. And he went to a new place away from Bill Belichick and still won anyway. So to me, for those reasons, it's Tom Brady. But with that being said, that's going to do it for a Thursday edition of the Locked On NFL podcast. Make sure you tune back in on Friday for your boy Q and Chris Carter breaking down everything you need to know. Next week is big game week. We're going to be here to break down that matchup as well. That's going to do it for me, Tyler Rowland, with my co-host Alex Clancy. Thanks for tuning into the Locked On NFL podcast. Stay safe out there and enjoy your weekend.
Bye.